You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dirt.
They were having such a good deal on golf cleats that I didn't have any. I used to get made fun of all the time.
Sprague.
They're not called golf cleats.
What are they called?
Golf shoes.
The Fans U.S. Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague on a Tuesday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Got a lot to get to in the final hour. Millsack coming up. Game 7 in the NBA. Don't forget, get your questions in. The Dune fans are in. They've chimed in at the fan text line.
Oh, we got a tweet from a listener, coincidentally, who had just tweeted about how Dune was disappointing, and then he realized it turning on the radio that we were talking about Dune.
Oh, okay, the OG Dune was disappointing?
Yeah. Yeah, it says, he quote tweeted himself, says, I watched the 1984 film Dune for the first time. Here we go. Then he responded, wow, this movie was very disappointing. There was no natural flow to the movie. It never really explained the background. It was missing so much, and the story has so much potential. Still really looking forward to the 2021.
Okay. Well, here's what the listeners are saying at the fan text line.
Okay.
Somebody said Dune was one of the biggest bombs of the 1980s. Somebody said this would be the second remake that they're doing. It was originally a book series that was inspired by George Lucas for Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
So this was the inspiration for Star Wars for George Lucas. That's the book the movie is based on. Somebody said Sting was one of the bad guys. Some people said the movie was pretty good. So that one's kind of all over the map a little bit.
Another one said Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah, Kyle MacLachlan. Somebody said the movie was awful, but the book was epic. Cannot wait for the new movie. So
I need to check out the trailer. When did that come out?
It just came out like last week. I remember it being like a big drop, and everybody was tweeting about it.
I must have just missed it.
Yeah. I did want to bring this up quickly. I don't know how much time you want to spend on it. I was just reminded of it because we got a text about it, and then Russ mentioned it in the update. Ed Orgeron talked today, the head coach of LSU, of course.
Yeah.
Our favorite Southern football coach.
Well,
and
not so much after that sexual assault story that
basically isn't that funny? That one kind of got swept under the rug, didn't it?
Sure did. Sure did.
So he came out and said in a statement today, talking with the media, he said he believes that most of his team has already caught COVID-19.
Yeah, I think most programs that are going to play have too, and they just haven't been honest about it.
His follow-up to that was, hopefully they don't catch it again, which sounds like a pretty good strategy. Then that led me to, I believe it was Stuart Mandel who notified me of this on Twitter, who tweeted that the SEC has a policy that if you test positive for COVID-19, you do not have to be retested for another 90 days.
What did they give?
Huh?
Do they clarify why the 90-day?
That's just a conference policy. Rule? They think you're going herd immunity. You don't think you can get it again. Antibodies build up.
Because I think there's supposed to be a 90-day window where once you catch it, then...
Is that for, like, everybody, though, not just football players? I admittedly do not know.
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. I mean, it's hard to really give an opinion on something if that's how everybody else is doing it.
I just saw that. I was like, huh? 90? You don't have to retest for 90?
Well, it said that's an SEC policy.
Yes.
So... Take from that.
Yeah, he tweeted, worth noting, per SEC protocols, athletes who tested positive don't have to be tested again for 90 days.
Very nonchalant attitude in the SEC about this. The same with the Big 12. Kind of the same for the ACC. You know what? Actually, all the conferences that are
all playing, they have
scheduled
that
to play, and that's the difference, right? Like, what it really does to athletes is something you're going to have to just kind of wait over time to see. But three conferences made their stance clear, and the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and maybe soon just the Pac-12, they made their stance clear as well. Although, as you pointed out, we shouldn't just look at the conference and say, well, they don't want to play, they're cowards, they want a vaccine, and that's when they'll first play. they're dealing with wildfires, and so I'm sorry, Joe Bob. College football is not an important issue in Oregon or California right now. It's, you know, being able to see the sky and breathe air and not be in the 400 to 500 range with air quality. So
I
don't know. I'm not really. Are you stunned by this news?
I'm not stunned by it. I just
hadn't
seen
that. This is right up the SEC's alley, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe somebody knows if that is like a national mandate or that's what the CDC says or whatever. Maybe it is. I'm with you. I just saw that and it kind of, I was taken aback by it a little bit. 90 days. It should also be noted a couple more games were canceled this weekend, one including Arkansas State. I don't know if you saw them. So they played this last weekend, and they had like 15 guys, I want to say, that were listed unavailable to play.
I think I saw 20.
Was it 20?
And like 8 starters.
So it was crazy. Like, okay, they tweeted out a list of inactives before the game, and it was like, wait, what? Isn't that the entire roster? And they have announced that they cannot field a competitive team, and they can't practice this week, so their game's going to get canceled.
They said there was a certain position where they could not field a 2-deep.
Yeah.
I love the vagueness of that. Do you trust AdvocateHealth.com?
Sure.
Well, it's a PDF, and this says no persons who remains asymptomatic, they do not retest within 90 days of the first positive test.
Say that again?
No persons who remain asymptomatic. So if they're asymptomatic with it, which is basically showing no signs of it.
And a lot of people that test positive are asymptomatic. Right. You don't know you have it.
Which is part of the mask wearing. Do not retest within 90 days of the first positive test. Now, I don't know if that's a mandate.
Well, there you go. Maybe some people are saying that.
But this is one guideline that I'm saying.
One guideline.
Again,
out there.
They reiterate they have to be asymptomatic. You can't show signs.
Yeah.
So maybe they're just applying that rule to all the players, or maybe all those players have been asymptomatic.
Yeah, that's the weird part. I wish I just wish there was more openness and honesty from these programs of identifying what their teams are going through.
I do think it's a bit, it makes me feel uncomfortable.
It pisses me off. It really does. It does. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about unpaid amateur athletes, and if you think they should be playing, that's fine. Everybody's going to have a differing take on it. I think testing daily is really important, and thankfully it looks like the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are heading in that direction when they do. Or if they do end up playing, they will have the capacity to test them daily, which I think limits the risk. But just not identifying, one, how many, like not publicly releasing for some of these places, how many of your players are testing positive. And then when they do test positive, what they're going through. Like, I don't need, I don't need names. I don't need that kind of stuff. But I do think it would be eye-opening for me. Like, maybe I wouldn't be as cautious in my thinking of this if they were coming out and saying, hey, so we had 7 guys that tested positive last week, but all 7 of them showed no symptoms. And after 3 days, they showed 3 straight negative tests and they were back at practice. There was no issues. Nobody's been hospitalized. We've had no problems. Like, it hasn't spread. Like, I think that would help me a lot in my analysis of should they be playing or should they not be playing, or is it safe to be playing? And I think to keep everybody in the dark in the way that this is handled, like Ed Orgeron, they haven't even played yet. He's already coming out saying almost his entire team has already tested positive.
Yeah.
Like, did any of them have to go to the hospital? Did any of them show major symptoms? Or any of them dealing with myocarditis? Like, there's no answers on that.
Yeah, and the whole, well, hopefully you don't get it a second time.
Like, okay, that's not a strategy.
I mean, it is for them.
Boy, wish in one hand, crap in the other, like, you know.
Well, you know, I do think there's obviously an approach to this that's right. You know, I think it's the problem with it. There's a lot of people that want to play so bad that when they hear us talking about this, they assume that we're too scared to watch football. Sure. We don't want football till vaccines created.
Yeah, you're being a soy boy right now.
Yeah, soy boy. Yeah. Like, that's out there. And I can't change how those people feel and how triggered they get over such stupid, unimportant things. But I think largely there's a right way you probably could do this. That's an element that I don't like. And for the same crowd that is probably, and actually without a doubt, going to take their shirt off, pound their chests like they're gorillas at the end of the year and say, see, we played a football season just fine. You're also going to highlight or overlook the fact that all these games have been postponed or canceled.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, those the same people who call you a soy boy because you don't play right away like every other conference, if they get through their season, they are going to try to throw it in your face and tell you how stupid and soft you are, while also not acknowledging how many postponements or cancellations we had from positive tests.
There have been a ton, and they continue to happen every single day.
Did we get contact tracing? Was Arkansas State responsible for Memphis, or did Memphis
They have not. I haven't seen anything on that. But I do know Arkansas State, as we just mentioned, had 20 guys that couldn't play this last week, and they've now canceled their game this upcoming weekend.
Well, maybe it was it Arkansas State that the Memphis player?
I believe it was Arkansas State that they said it was them. They were the ones that had it. We didn't party on a party bus. We got it from playing them.
Right.
And then they had 20 players that couldn't play. They, even though they didn't have 20 players that couldn't play, went on the road and beat Kansas State this last weekend.
The contact, that's right, they did.
Without 20 guys on the roster.
The contact tracing has not been as great as it could be, and that's a part of the new testing strategy that I think they're getting. But yeah, you asked me what I think about LSU. I'd kind of assume every team in that conference is doing that.
Yeah, true. Not too surprised by it. Just wanted to bring that up. I saw that quote and I just thought, that's interesting. Just hoping that they don't get it again and saying that the entire team has basically caught COVID at this point. And a reminder that the SEC does not start for another, 2 weeks, right? They start the 26th?
26th is their start date.
So they start a week from Saturday.
Yeah.
We're not even to the start of the season yet for the SEC.
But we haven't heard any teams that are not ready to play.
Because they're not releasing their data. So we can't know that. So, all right, hey, get your questions in 503-250-1080. That is the fan text line. Mail sack, sports, non-sports related. We'll answer them on the other side next on The Fan. Just like music.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right. Thanks to one of our listeners, Ben. He sent this to the show page.
Okay.
So this is from Healthline. Lauren Rota?
Yeah, big fan of her work.
PhD at University of Washington School of Medicine.
Okay, I know what they're doing up there.
She might know what she's doing.
Yeah, I'd say so.
There's still a lot of unknowns about this, which is insane how long this has been here. And this kind of gives you a peek of what medical and scientists have to deal with, was just figuring stuff like this out when it happens. She says there's research that's been done by her team as well as others showing that antibodies against the virus are maintained for at least 3 months.
Okay.
So I'd assume that's the...
There's your 90 days.
There's your 90 days.
You feel like your immune system's a little stronger for the first 90 days afterwards. Got it. That makes a little more sense. All right, let's get to the mail sack, shall we?
Mail sack.
Mail
Russ, feel free to chime in on any of these if you want to.
Steve, worldwide.
Let's start here. Mail sack question. Do you guys flush the toilet every time you pee? I'll let it go a handful of times to save water, at least until it starts to smell funky.
If it's dark yellow, which doesn't happen really almost ever for me, I try to stay hydrated. If it's dark yellow, yes. Slight yellow, but mostly clear.
Nah.
Save water.
Yeah, I'd say I'm like a 25% of the time I don't flush.
I had a guy in college scare me about flushing. It was an extra credit thing.
Uh-huh.
And it was a guy that worked in the Corvallis, like, water system, whatever that is.
Sure.
And he basically was like, every time you flush, you speed us right up to running out of drinkable water.
Oh, nice.
And I said, what? And he goes, yeah, we're going to run out of drinkable water. And I said, well, thanks for the uplifting note there, Bob. And I go, what do I do? And he goes, well, you can try not to flush every time. If it's yellow, let it mellow.
Aquafina.
And I said, okay.
That frustrates me sometimes with the climate change stuff. Like, hey, do better, which we all need to do.
Sure.
While also ignoring the fact there's like 5 companies that are responsible for 80% of the world's pollution. Like, really? Me taking a 5-minute shower is going to make a dent in it?
I'm at I go to my dad's house, and my dad and his wife are avid, religious plastic water bottle people.
Oh, why?
I don't know. We've bought him Hydro Flask.
That's so dumb. How do you do that, man? You get a filter, you get a hydro, then you're good to go.
He goes through 2 or 3 of those a day.
Come on, man.
And every time I watch him throw it in there, I go, damn it.
Why?
And then he like argues back. And then I do have a moment. I do have a moment where I'm like, it really isn't us. It's those companies. It's a cop out, but.
We're in the trust tree. I had a thing. I had took an environmental science class in college.
Uh-huh. You hippie.
And very Oregon of me. And you're supposed to like come up with a thing to do that was like good for the environment as like a project and then write a paper on it at the end of the class. And I mine was taking cold showers for a month.
You didn't do this.
I didn't take a single cold shower.
You damn right you didn't.
No, I wrote a paper at the end of term that I did though. think I even passed a class. It was a miracle.
The one time I actually got beat by my grandma, RIP, and I mean like legit, she hit me pretty damn hard. I was crying. I think I was like 7 or 8, and I was in a hot shower, and I was in there for a long time, and she goes, you know, there's people in other countries that don't get hot showers. And I was a mouthy kid. And I instantly responded, yeah, grandma, you think they'd like them, though, if they could have them? And it was
just... I'm not gonna lie, it's not a bad response. It's true. I mean, well, if you gave them the hot shower, they'd take the hot shower.
Every human had any benefit that we do, they'd do the same thing.
Russ, do you ever not flush the toilet?
I flush.
Every time?
Every time.
Okay. Well, aren't you just...
Russ is a bit hoity-toity.
Thoughtful over there.
He's prestige worldwide.
He is
prestige
worldwide.
Me and my McNuggets. Super hoity-toity.
Mail sack question. Did Dirt ever end up watching Defy Bloods from the book club way back when? I did. We never talked about it on the show, but I did.
Okay. Now, let me give you my thoughts.
Not what I was expecting in any way, shape, or form.
Me either. Didn't watch the trailer. Just clicked play.
It turned out to be like a new Vietnam War. Like, I did not see that coming.
But, like, not a real Vietnam War?
Yes, a war, but not a war.
I was just in Vietnam. They weren't pulling guns on us.
Well, you weren't looking for buried treasure.
Yeah, that's true. I thought there was some really good acting. I thought that movie was maybe an hour too long.
Way too long.
That movie is way too long.
Wait, yeah.
Great story.
Spike Lee can have that problem sometimes.
Yeah, right. I think that there's a...
Yeah, it was a good story, fun, like the Chadwick Boseman stuff. I mean,
that makes
a little
it
differently
even more
now.
Because I remember seeing that movie, thinking in the moment, man, he got really skinny for this role.
Yeah.
And now it's really sad.
Makes sense.
Judd Apatow, same problem. Judd Apatow is a great filmmaker.
I think his movies are too long.
His movies are always 30 to 40 minutes too long. Funny People is 45 to 50 minutes way too long.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you catch King of Staten Island? Did I miss that?
I have not watched that yet. That was on our book club we were going to do, and then sports returned, and we stopped the book club.
I enjoyed
club.
It a lot.
You okay. did?
Yes.
Pete Davidson, interesting guy.
Yes.
Very interesting.
And, well, in that movie, I couldn't decide if he was likably unlikable or unlikably likable.
Huh. Mm. I will get to that movie at some point.
That's my uncut gems. I don't know if I hated it, and I don't know if I loved it.
That movie sucked.
I was so anxious and wound up that entire movie. I felt like I was digging like holes in the couch as I watch it. I was sweating.
KG, that movie sucked, man.
I liked it, but you know.
Millsack, is there any
uncut? Yeah.
Is there a superstar athlete who looks less the part than Nikola Jokic? He looks like a fat Serbian mob boss who's drunk on vodka all day, but he's unbelievable.
There's a picture of him as a kid sitting shirtless, and he's got rolls. He's a fat kid too, and he's sitting down. And they said, would anybody have believed you that this was going to be the best basketball player of anybody in a gym?
Yeah. I would say there's some baseball players that fall into that, but not like the superstar category. Like Bartolo Colon, Pablo Sandoval, like guys have had that, but they're not superstars. So if you're going to go the superstar part of it?
Superstar's tough. I hate to say this. I'm a big fan. Brady really never checked any of the physical attributes that you would identify a true all-time great quarterback with.
Look at his draft photo when he's not wearing a shirt.
His physical, his physique.
Peyton Manning. Outside of being tall, he's got a bit of that.
But Peyton was tall with the bloodlines of good arms. You know what I mean? Like Brady.
That's the jeans. That's not the outside of the look. Like he's a goofy looking kind of chubby dude.
Yeah, but Peyton looked the part more so, I thought, than Brady. Brady now looks normal because he wins.
Yeah.
But no, not Jokic level.
Jokic is tough to top.
It's pretty special.
How much would you pay to watch Alex Crawford's reaction when the Clippers lose Game 7 tonight? I wouldn't pay anything, because losing Game 7 as a fan, we all know how that feels as Blazer fans. But I will say I wouldn't want to know it in the moment, but in the aftermath, maybe give him 5 minutes. I have the receipts.
Well, or how about on another note, how many things will be broken in Alex Crawford's domicile after they lose?
I'll just warn you now, there's a lot of tweets that are going to get fired at Old Takes Exposed if the Clippers are to lose tonight. I got them holstered and ready to go.
Wait, did you actually like screenshot stuff?
Oh, I got them all, baby. They're not going to lose. They're locked to win the championship. Everybody who hates the Clippers is a blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, they're dialed up. ready to go. I'll give him a few minutes.
Man, we need this. We need this.
Let the heartbreak sink in for 5 minutes, and then I'm firing all those bad boys
off. I can't believe how much I'm rooting for the Denver Nuggets.
It should also be noted that Alex Crawford has been old takes exposed by our show before.
Yes.
Because he predicted Oregon State to go 9-3. I think that was Gary Anderson's year.
It was the year Gary Anderson
where they won one game
left.
They hauled in at the end.
They went 1-11. Let's call it what it was.
All right, Millsack, besides the show, how else have you been keeping busy during the poor air quality?
That's a good question.
Sports. That's it for me. I've watched everything.
Still exercising. That's been good. And, you know, we went and stayed at my sister-in-law's house for 2 days. It was 13 of us in a 2,000 square foot home, which is a pretty good size house. You'd think there'd be like problems, and there really wasn't.
No issues?
Everybody was really good at just like, oh, this person's by themselves for an hour. This person's going to do this. The kids are fine.
Yeah.
Like it went pretty well.
That helps.
Those 2 days went by pretty quick. And since we got home, I mean, I'm admittedly outside of working out, nothing. We're just watching sports and
yeah, you had an NFL Sunday all day. You had two Monday Night Football games last night. You get the conference finals and a game 7 tonight in the NBA.
I don't go for as long, but I still take my dog for a walk twice a day. And
I'm struggling with that too, of like how long to have him outside for.
You don't want him out too long. They still need a walk because
they go crazy if they don't exercise him. Okay, we got a couple of leftover sack questions. We will get to those coming up on the other side. A quick NFL leftover as well when my boy is about to start in the NFL. We'll get to that. And then we got a game 7 tonight in the NBA, so it is a loaded final half hour. But first, here's Ruff's Sports Center.
Hello, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. I wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6 foot and four.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
Like RJ chimed in and said, I cracked a beer at noon today. If it wasn't for all the smoke, I probably would have waited 10, 15 more minutes. It's changing lives, man.
You made it till noon.
You made it till noon. That's impressive. I do have that on I have that on football weekend days where you kind of wake up and you're like, okay, I got nothing to do today. I'm sitting around. When do I crack that seal?
I'm not going to comment on when I do that.
Like, when do I want to dive in?
Oh, yeah, that's totally just me on football days.
Yeah.
Only football days. That's it. Nothing else. None of the other days that end in Y.
I commend a lot of people, by the way, working from home and then a lot of people dealing with kids at school at home again. It's not easy. It's very stressful. And, you know, you kind of go crazy being in your house as long as you are. I don't know how a lot of you are not at least cracking or having a cold beverage at 10 a.m. You don't even have to have it in the computer screen, but just to the side.
We're doing pretty well keeping Tito's in business at my house.
Dude, I know that. If Intercom Portland would have gone remote, like some companies have gone remote in radio, if they would have told us during COVID, here's equipment, you guys are going to do your shows at house, I absolutely would have a beer next to the microphone.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be drunk, but I'd absolutely have a beer.
It's the middle of the day, man. What the hell? Okay, a couple of last mail sack questions. Somebody asked, mail sack, wife and I need to pick a new series to rewatch at home. The finalists are Entourage or Sons of Anarchy. Haven't watched either in several years. Break the tie.
Never saw Sons of Anarchy, so I dive into that. So it really depends on what you liked more, but I will say,
depends on what you're in the mood for, I would argue.
Entourage ages very poorly.
How does it age poorly?
I never watched Entourage.
I loved Entourage. Did you see what the creator of the show said the other day on a podcast?
No, I used to follow him on Instagram, and then he kind of got boring.
Oh, okay. He said the creator of the show said that the writer or whatever, said that their plan going into the final episode was to kill Vinny.
Why would you kill Vinny?
And Mark Wahlberg was like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that.
Why would you kill the entire...
They said because nobody would see it coming. It's the last episode. They knew it was the last episode.
But then they did a movie.
Way to end with a bang.
Did they do two movies or just one?
I know the movie was awful. I know that.
There were just... I don't know. I'm talking about the early stuff.
Okay. I would vote Entourage because I haven't seen Sons of Anarchy because I can't vote on rewatching that because I've never seen it.
I got to admit, the biker gang thing never drew me in.
Didn't get you? I'm that way with zombies too. Just never.
Zombies can't get me either.
Walking Dead just didn't do it for me.
Yeah. Sons of Anarchy, we waited till it was basically about done and we just binged the S out of it. And yeah, I
like
it.
I feel like I got to start doing that better with shows that are on TV now.
That's what we did with S Creek.
I mean, we're almost done with that show. I will say the later seasons kind of started to tail off a little bit.
It's SOA? Hard to maintain, man. It's so hard to maintain.
But it's a solid show.
Yeah. How many seasons did they do?
Seven.
See, when you get past like five, it gets a little dicey.
And that's kind of about where it
is. You know, you got to maintain it and hopefully you can end it properly. But Peggy from Married with Children's in that show.
She is, yeah.
Maybe I'll have to give that a try.
Okay, Millsack, how much crap or horrible people are on the text line? Be honest. There has to be a few douches every day.
No, I mean,
it's not that bad.
Though I'll tell you, the worst thing that I think we get nowadays, aside from you suck and you're not good and you're not prime time, is probably people who get really frustrated or triggered by COVID conversations.
Yeah.
You don't have to agree with our views of COVID. Me and Dirt probably don't agree on everything with COVID, but... Mm-hmm. You know, I got an email from a listener. It's interesting this brought up. I had an email from a listener that Swag sent us. It's specifically for our show. And he was ranting about how wrong we were to question the fans booing the NFL players' unity. And we had a little back and forth. But I kind of walk away and I say, these people are frustrated with other things. They use these things to lash out about. And so you don't have to agree with me. I don't agree with one of my good friends listens to the show. We couldn't be more different fundamentally as human beings. But you can disagree with somebody, still have conversations, still hear their other side. And there's some people that just, that's not a possibility. So we'll hear from those people. And I'd say it's what? 6% less?
Yeah, it's very minimal.
Largely, all you guys are awesome.
Yeah, we love the listeners, man. The fan text line is fun to read throughout the course of the show. My only thing is just don't ever make it, like, don't ever take personal shots, that kind of stuff. Like, you can agree and think we're idiots or have differing takes on stuff, but when you take it to there are some levels that listeners take it to that it's just like, man,
yeah,
come on, grow up.
Right.
Okay.
We'll get people that will text once every, like, 2 years. And remind us that we suck.
Yeah. Hey, you're still listening.
Haven't listened in a long time.
Hey, it's been a while. You still suck.
Sounds like you still suck.
I hope that's what their voices sound like. Speaking of not being able to listen.
Sounded like a Muppet there.
It did.
Been watching a lot of Muppets in our house.
Yeah, a lot of Muppets in the rest of the house.
My kids will not watch the Muppets.
Oh, my kids love the Muppets.
I don't know why.
They love them.
They got all the Muppet movies on Disney Plus. I'm like, these are great movies. I watched these as a kid. They won't even give him a chance. Like, no, I'm done.
Unfortunately, they've been on the Muppets Most Wanted lately, and that one's kind of...
The what?
Muppets Most Wanted.
Oh, that one sucked.
Yeah.
Exactly. I like the two old guys in the balcony, and I love the chef.
Yeah, the chef's great.
Did you ever see the old, it was a Swedish chef ringtone sketch on Saturday Night Live?
No.
I think it was Andy Samberg. Sweet Fancy Moses. That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Okay.
Just picture him doing the Axel F theme song from Beverly Hills Cop. Great.
Last but not least, haven't been able to listen in the last month or so. Happy to be tuned back in. Welcome back. We love you. Dirt, are you buying or selling the Mariners playoffs before 2023? I'll buy the hell out of that, man. They got young talent.
What about me?
He only won in my opinion.
Okay.
Only won in my opinion.
That's fair.
So.
He'll probably ask me a basketball question.
He probably would ask you a basketball question. All righty then. Okay. So thanks for the music, Rust. It was good. Good
Rust, mail sack. It's been nice to have you.
Good sack today.
You had a good sack.
Nice to be.
You did. You had a good sack today, buddy.
It was pretty clean.
It was, yeah.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
Smooth.
Very smooth.
On time.
I did get the old lawnmower 3.0.
You damn right you did. You damn right you did.
Let me ask this before we get to game 7.
You ever put the leg up on the counter when you're standing in the bathroom with the 3.0?
I'm not quite that flexible anymore, so it kind of goes on top of the toilet tank.
Yeah, I go over the toilet.
You gotta
straddle the toilet.
I got
long
legs.
Give yourself some room.
You do.
I'm like 80%
weigh like
legs.
4 pounds.
This is true.
So it's easy for you to lift a leg up on a counter.
You can't lift your own leg up?
I mean, it can, but, you know, it's not comfortable. I'm not going to lie. I don't want to stand in that position for a long amount of time.
You're a little taller than us there, too, bro.
Yeah, you got long legs.
I'll never forget.
Your bones.
We went to Pacific City right before COVID shut everything down, and me, my wife, and Dirt's wife all woke up and did the same yoga class Dirt walks in right. He's about to start.
Yeah.
But then he walks past and goes to a Peloton thing. And I'm like, oh, he's not going to stretch with us. Okay.
Yeah, no. That's not my cup of tea. I did do a yoga class the next day with her. It was my first ever yoga class.
Yoga classes are good for you.
I mean, yeah, it was okay. It was very uncomfortable. I had to fart for most of the time.
That's, you know, that can be the problem. But if it's just you and the wife in the house.
Oh, sure. I'd let it rip and I'd be great. Yeah. But when I'm in the room and I'm, you know, you're trying to get me to calm down and my stomach's going blah, 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 blah.
It's good for golf game.
Hey, come on, man. That's not.
It's good for the golf game.
Yeah. I rode the Peloton and it hurt my butt.
Yeah. This bike seats are terrible.
Bike seats are just awful. Yeah. Haven't we? Why have we not upgraded that yet? But my biker bros out there, come on. How do you sit on that thing?
Yeah. Biker guy, tell us why. Why does the seat need to be firm versus having like a lot of padding? Especially when I've biked 20 miles before. And that's a hell of an exercise.
That's a great exercise.
Why is your seat rock hard, and why would you not want cushions on your cheeks?
Make no sense.
I don't get it either.
I went I think I did like 5, 6, 7, I don't know. It doesn't take you that long to ride that many miles on a bike. Mm. It's like, dude, then you got to start standing up to ride, then it's uncomfortable.
I ever tell you my bike story at the gay parade in San Francisco?
No.
Do we have a cricket sounder on here?
We're not going to get it.
It's two guys on one bike.
Oh, okay.
The seat was firm.
On that note.
Break?
Should we go? I think we should go.
Let's break.
Okay.
Hey, I waved at him.
You did? Hey, give him a high five?
Yep.
Hey, way to go. Okay, hey, when's my boy going to start? And we got a game 7. We'll close up there next on The Fam.
Everybody get up. It's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
We asked, how's the old Hot Pocket treating you, Bubba Guts, by now? I'm doing great, baby. I got a stomach of an iron skillet.
Nah, you wait till about 8 o'clock tonight. She's going to be roaring.
You give it time. Okay. Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Before we get to game 7. A couple of veteran quarterbacks started on Sunday, and for both of them, it did not look very good. And they both have something in common, and that is that they are backed up by rookies who were taken in the top 10. Starting in L.A. with the Chargers, they started Tyrod Taylor, of course. And I don't know how many of you watched the Charger-Bengal game, but dear God, was that ugly.
By a mile, that was the worst game of the day.
Holy hell. And somebody who got the Chargers, thankfully, at -2.5 right before kick, they made me sweat it out. How you only have one touchdown drive against the Bengals that didn't come to the fourth quarter. Tyrod Taylor was 16 of 30 for 208 yards. Did the timeline of starting Justin Herbert get moved up?
I mean, if they have another performance like that, yeah. I don't know how much, but for sure. I don't. That's not sustainable.
They play the Chiefs this weekend.
Yeah, they're going to lose. It's just a matter of what their production can be, and I think you can play better. Remember, there's no preseason, and practices have been weird. So even for the teams that won and looked ugly, the teams who maybe didn't have their best performance, there's a little leeway I think we need to give from the media fan perspective of there's rust to build off, and some teams are more ready to go than others, but that was awful. I mean,
it was like they couldn't move the ball. It was bad.
At least the Buffalo Bills hit hard and puts a couple more points on the board. Like, that was the worst game of the day to me. Joe Burrow didn't impress, but Tyrod Taylor, somebody made a good point. Tyrod probably shouldn't be playing in that system. And I think it was Michael Lombardi. Somebody basically wondered aloud, should he be playing in like a Lamar Jackson type offense? And he was a backup in Baltimore. He won a Super Bowl behind Joe Flacco.
He was.
And sure, I know he's played the pocket quarterback position before, but he's also really athletic and mobile. I thought that's something Buffalo kind of let him do a little bit when he was the quarterback when they went to the postseason, is he was able to move with his legs a little bit. And in that game against the Bengals, just good God, it was ugly. So if they get blown out by Kansas City and then you follow that up with another kind of just
Carolina the week after
mediocre performance and you lose to Carolina, I think it's fair to wonder aloud, we're not going anywhere this year. We still have young guys. maybe you see Herbert by like week eight.
Yeah, that's the unique part about the Chargers, though, is I think with their front and the skill position players that they have, there has to be, like, that's a talented roster.
He's got wide receivers. Right? You can't tell me he doesn't.
You got one of the best defensive lines in the NFL with Bosa and Ingram.
Williams and Allen are really good targets to have.
Right? And you got I know Derwin James is out, but you feel good about the corner position. So, yeah. I don't know. That roster
Casey
is a little...
Casey Hayward, right? Chris Harris.
It's a little more ready-made than some other teams. So, I do wonder. You don't want to rush it too quick, but if you can't move the ball against Cincinnati... maybe the Bengals are going to have a better defense than I'm giving them credit for, and they'll get it going. But that just kind of looked like the old Tyrod Taylor. If that's what you're going to get every week, you're just going to be incredibly limited. And you don't want to rush him in the first 3-4 weeks of the season. But I had this sense going into the year that it probably wasn't going to be before week 9 or week 10 until we saw him. And I think that's a little sped up.
Well, they weren't, you know, they won't say this, but it kind of feels like they aren't all that impressed with where he's at right now from a development standpoint. And that's why you would maybe look from week eight to up. But I mean, what was the stat line? 200 yards. Tyrod Taylor,
16 of 30 for 208 yards.
The weirdest thing, when he retires, by the way, had a great career when he retires and you ask me to sum up Tyrod Taylor,
your line.
That's the stat line, right? Isn't it 30 pass attempts or slightly less, just a tick above 50%. And sub 250 yards, like that's Tyrod Taylor in a nutshell.
I'll always remember Tyrod Taylor for Buffalo benching him for Nathan Peterman.
Well, remember that was a big mistake. He threw all those picks and they put him back
in.
And
then he came in and he led him to the playoffs and he ended their playoff drought.
By the way, it's Tyrod. We keep saying Tyrod.
Oh, sorry, Tyrod Taylor.
That was a big development in Hard Knocks that one year when he said everybody's been saying his name wrong.
Like, wait, what? The other guy who struggled with a rookie quarterback behind him was Ryan Fitzpatrick, who... Fitzmagic may be running out. He was 20 of 30, 190 yards. He did 3 picks against New England. So they're now faced with the same dilemma. I don't know if Miami, and who knows, maybe the Chargers are just kind of punting on this year and they're fine building for the future and there's no rush. Miami, I think, is more in that category of they're in a kind of a rebuild. So I don't think there's any sense of urgency there. But neither of those veteran quarterbacks left you inspired when you got top 6 picks sitting behind him in the depth chart.
I think we see the 5th overall pick play before the 6th overall pick.
You think Tua plays before Herbert?
Yeah, I think by week 5 or 6, they'll be done with this. And by all accounts, he sounds like he's pretty healthy. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to roll him out there and see what he's got.
All right, there you go. Some final NFL notes. Let's get to the NBA tonight as the Eastern Conference Finals begins and we get to a Game 7. Game 7, a little bit bigger. So we'll start with the Eastern Conference Finals, 3:40 on ESPN. Boston, a slight favorite. Your general thoughts about the series? I'm actually pretty excited for this one. Miami's been great. Boston survives a Game 7. That Toronto series was awesome, back and forth. They've been a lot of fun to watch. Having some fresh blood in the Eastern Conference Finals. Huge fan of that. What are your thoughts, Boston and Miami?
Two great teams. Miami, a bit of the underdog here with their defeat of the Milwaukee Bucks. But the tough thing for Miami is going to be that Boston matches up against their good players far better than Milwaukee had. Because once you get past Middleton and Giannis, it's not really good. Like even Wes, I know we all root for Wes Matthews. He's one of our favorites as a Blazer. He's kind of past what he was. So defensively, he doesn't have kind of that same staying power on the defensive end. I think Miami's going to win tonight, basically because Game 7 and what that series took on Boston, they're a younger-ish team. I know they have some vets. Marcus Smart's been there a while now, but Tatum Brown are just, they're tough to bet against. So Miami showed some really good things against Milwaukee. I think it's an entirely different matchup when you get to Boston. Kemba seems like he's building his confidence more and more. Marcus Smart, man, is he making his case for one of the better role guys you'd ever want on a contending team.
God, I'd love him in Portland.
He'd fit right in. And then you throw in the two young forwards. By the way, Gordon Hayward might be returning from his sprained ankle. Mm-hmm. That's going to be even more firepower. And Tice plays really, really well for them to the point where they've almost benched Enes Kanter. And Tice is getting most of the minutes. Robert Williams getting some of them to their other big two. But I think it's a tough matchup for Miami. I like them tonight in Game 1, but I like Boston. I think it's going 7.
If you like Miami on the money line, they're plus 110. They're underdog by 2 points right now. Then you get a Game 7 tonight. Denver, 7.5-point underdog against the Clippers. If you like them on the money line, which I don't, that bet's not going to win, but I'm going to place it anyways just because I want to root for it, plus 265.
I would take the money line.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Like, what the hell, man?
Put a couple bucks on 260.
I'm not gambling on the Clippers. Screw that.
Yeah. We're on our code. I'm going for the Nuggets. I know
everybody's rooting for Denver, baby.
Clippers are probably going to win this. Yeah. I just can't fathom Kawhi Leonard gets knocked out, but They've had no answer for Jokic. They just can't fall behind. I really believe if they fall behind by 16 or more again.
Denver, that is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't do that three times in a row. So.
You wouldn't think, man. You wouldn't think. And a listener pointed us to right now, if you do think the Clippers win tonight and you still have faith in them winning an NBA championship, which isn't that irrational, you can get them at plus 300 right now to win the NBA Finals.
Who?
The Clippers. You can get them at plus 300.
That's not bad because I do think they can beat the Lakers if they can get past the Denver.
And last but not least, don't overlook hockey tonight as you got a game 5 between Tampa and New York. Last night, Dallas punched their ticket to the Stanley Cup final, and Tampa has a chance to do the same. They're up 3-1 going into tonight. So it looks like we're heading for a Tampa-Dallas Stanley Cup final.
Just like everybody picked.
Just like, well, Tampa was the favorite.
Is Dallas a big underdog?
Dallas is a pretty big underdog. They were upset over Colorado. Colorado was favored in that series, and then Vegas was favored in their series in the Western Conference Finals. They raced a 2-0 goal lead. They were down 2-0 in the third period last night, scored 2, sent it to overtime. They won, series over.
I bet you the Golden Knights make Seattle hockey fan excited because you don't have to suck as
an up-and-coming
team.
Got a chance. There you go. Good little show. If you miss any of it, we had Heather Dinich on. Go check that one out. Also, Andrew Greif to preview that game 7. You can find him 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague, and at 1080 The Fan. Thank you for being a part of our Tuesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. No one's next listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.